Hey, what's up? It's Avery here. Well, I guess who else would it be? It is my own show. You see, my show is on platforms like iTunes and Spotify, and you may wonder, how do I get my show on these platforms? Well, I do it through an app called Anchor. It's free to download, and you can use it on your phone or on your laptop. And it also comes with creation tools that let you edit your show. You can also make that sweet moolah with your podcast with no minimum listenership. So, want to get started? Download the Anchor app on the Google Play Store or Apple's App Store, or go to anchor.fm. It's that easy. Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome back to Avery Sports Show. As many of you know, I'm a huge soccer guy. I enjoy covering women's soccer. I enjoy covering the CPL, USL, MLS. I want to have on someone who I've known for quite some time, who I've covered quite a few soccer games with over the years, covering national team, be it in Edmonton or be it in Vancouver. From Sportsnet 960 in Calgary and 660 News, and welcome to the podcast, Sandra Persina. Sandra, how are you doing today?
Avery, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I came back from Toronto from covering Canada's last game before we went up to Europe, and it was a fun game watching Canada beat Mexico 3-0, a dominant performance for Canada, and watching the national team. They look good right now. From the first whistle to the end, they were dominant in this game as far, Sandra.
Yeah, and I think this is just indicative of the kind of year that they've had. They barely conceded any goals. They're clearly playing unbeaten with a lot of confidence, and they look good, and I was glad against Mexico to see some balls go in the net, because one of the question marks, I think, heading into the World Cup here is, can they score goals? Obviously, they're very good defensively, and Steph LeMay is a fantastic goalie, but people were wondering, okay, who's going to score these goals? And just to see them explode a little bit offensively against a pretty formidable opponent. I know Mexico's not going to the World Cup, but they still have a lot of threats. So it was good to see. Obviously, good to see Sinclair score another, get another tally here on the way to the record. But overall, just to see Jesse Fleming pot one and Adriano Leone playing such a crucial role as a very dependable sub late in the game with that extra kind of pizzazz that she brings. And Janine Becky, I think she is probably one of the more underrated players in the world right now. So, yeah, it's nice to see things coming together offensively for this team.
No, of course, I couldn't agree more. Like, how big will that be in the World Cup? Because you mentioned Christine Sinclair, and in any tournament, you can't rely on just one player doing all the goal scoring. How big is that to see, like you mentioned, Leon scoring and Fleming scoring? And also the youth players stepping up now, because this team is a pure mix of veterans and youth, and you've been stepping up in a big way over the past few games they played, Sandra.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And if I can just give a little bit of a thumbs up and shout out to my editor on Sportsnet, John Molinaro, who did a really good piece post-Mexico match where he quoted the captain and she said, "This is one of the best teams I've had in years." And you can read in between the lines what she means there, because it means Canada finally has the depth. It's finally caught on, and it's taken a long time. It's taken nearly two decades. I mean, if you think back to the 2002 U19 World Championship hosted in Edmonton, and how many key players were part of that team, and they went through the program for nearly two decades, and finally we're seeing the fruits of their labor. Another team I really like to focus on is the 2014 U20 team, and you think of Ashley Moore, Kadisha Buchanan, that crew, Jesse Fleming, Janine Becky was on that team, Michelle Prince. There are probably more that I can't think of off the top of my head. But, oh, Caitlin Sheridan, there's another one. Like, that team has really just that work, that Excel program, it has paid off. And we are now seeing the fruits of everybody's labor. Kudos to John Herdman, because he created a path when he came into the program in 2011 and cleaned house and basically figured out the way to do things, and here we are. I mean, we're on the cusp of what could be a very successful World Cup.
Yeah, it could be, Sandra. And then you mentioned that he should be Canada. She didn't play in the game against Mexico because she's playing the Champions League final for Lyon. Like, what does it mean to see young Canadian players not just dominating, not just playing well here in North America, but going over to Europe and being key cogs in European sides now.
Huge. France has become a home for Canadian players now. You look at Ashley Lawrence. She's also been joined there by Rebecca Quinn. You also have another young lady, her name is Vanessa Shields. She's playing over there. And, of course, I cannot forget about Jordan Heidema, who just signed her contract in France. So to see them have the opportunity to play at in a top league, but not only a top league, but they get to play Champions League, which is huge. And I can only imagine that's probably a dream for a lot of these players. I remember a couple of years ago talking to Josie Bellanger, and the reason, you know, she had been injured for a number of years and didn't really have the opportunity to play at a professional level for a very long time, but she said one of her goals was to make sure she could make it to Europe and at least somehow get the opportunity to play in Champions League. That is a huge thing for a lot of these players, just to be able to possibly do that. So a lot of them are in France. We still have a couple of players in Sweden. So it's become a hub.
Yeah, it truly has. And of course, going to this World Cup, what does it mean to see Canada once again be a team that people want to gun for? Because even though Canada never won a World Cup, they are still one of the more hunted teams in this tournament come June, Sandra.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they are a top five team in the world. They've got one of the best players ever in the history of the sport, and the World Cup is interesting. You get on a bit of a roll, and anything is possible. I think of England in Canada nearly 4 years ago and what they did, and perhaps they were a bit of a lucky bounce, maybe away from making the final. So you get hot at the right time, you go in with the right mindset, and I think what's working in Canada's favor this time is not only the team's depth, but the fact that they don't have to focus on being the host country. And I think people will underestimate Canada a little bit, because I remember, I'm sure you and I talked about this 4 years ago, you have an extra set of pressure on your shoulders when you are the host country.
Yeah.
Like, think back to that first game in Edmonton, Canada-China. It was possibly going to be a draw, and then Christine Sinclair in injury time steps up and gets the win. What if Canada didn't win that game, the first game on home soil? It would have been difficult for them to recover. So you have that weight gone. You can just focus on playing soccer. And I think the way that the new coaching staff has developed everything, things are in Canada's favor right now.
No, they are right now. And right now in the tournament, they're in Group E with Holland, New Zealand, and Cameroon. Of course, you don't look past any team in this group, but from compared to what the Americans have, I think Canada's group is a little bit easier than, say, what America has in their group so far in Group E, Sandra.
That's how I feel, too. And I certainly don't mean any disrespect to the other three nations in the group, because they all have excellent tactics in their own way. I think of any African nation, and they're just going to outrun you, and agility, that's going to be a huge issue. I think the Dutch are a team to look out for. They're one of the stronger European sides, so I think there will be challenges, but with the fact that you can essentially have the top three teams making it out of the group, albeit some of the roads to the knockout and those rounds will be more difficult if you were to finish second or third. I just think Canada will qualify for the knockout stages. I don't see them having any major issues within group stage play.
No, I'd agree with you with that. Is there any team, though, you think, Sandra, in this tournament that people should really be watching to be an upset team? Because I would feel like, I think it seems like, you know, a Nigeria or Jamaica could cause some upsets in this tournament, in my mind.
Yeah, Jamaica will be a lot of fun to watch. They're one of my dark horse picks, I think. I really enjoyed watching them throughout the qualifying tournament. That was a lot of fun. And just their exuberance and their passion for the game, that just rubs off on you when you watch them. So I think they're one of those picks you have to keep your eye out on. Like, in the corner of your eye, you're like, they could do a little bit of damage. For me, right now, I think I can't underestimate a side like England. I know Canada did beat them earlier this year, but
I feel that
they have such tremendous depth from the goalkeeper out. They're just such a well-oiled machine. And I think on the big stage, they'll show up. I think, obviously, when you have someone, Germany and USA, it goes without saying, they're going to be a tough test. But Japan, I know, has been going through a little bit of rebuilding, so I'll leave them on the outside. But another team I'm looking at is Australia, because Sam Kerr is probably in my top two players. I would say she would be my top player in the world right now, but I think she's a fantastic player that can potentially lead Australia to some really good things.
No, it could. And as one team I looked at, they're missing their one star. It's Norway. And Ada Hedberg, she's not playing this tournament. How big of a loss is that going to be for Norway with her seeing out of this World Cup this summer, Sandra?
Yeah, when you have a FIFA player that's not there, right? You think about that. That's huge. That would be like Luka Modric or Ronaldo or Lionel Messi missing the World Cup, right? Like, you look at it that way, and you have to put it in a way that makes people don't understand the enormity of it, just because unfortunately, women's sport isn't covered as heavily as men, but you have to almost quantify it to people and show them that that is a huge player that's missing from that squad.
No, it is. I know for you. So, I want to go for a second. I know you've been covering, like I mentioned in the intro, you covered a lot of soccer. You've also been a part of covering the CPL with One Soccer and covering Calvary FC. What's it been like not just covering Calvary FC, but also covering a fully professional Canadian Soccer League, which has not been in Canada since early 90s.
Yeah, and for me personally, I'm a little bit older than you, so I remember my dad in the late 80s would take me to some professional games here in Calgary, and essentially professional soccer was never heard from again for reasons, obviously money comes down to it, and facilities and things like that. And over the past few years, I've had the opportunity to get to know Tommy Wheeldon Jr. Quite a bit through his work through Calgary Foothills, the team that won the PDL championship last year. And just to see the success that he's having with this team and this culture and the soccer culture that he's embedded on Calgary, to me, is huge. It's been a lot of fun, and I went into it with no expectations. I didn't know what I was going to see because, like you said, I haven't seen professional hockey in Calgary for decades, and decades, but it is the truth.
Yeah.
Obviously, I watch professional soccer from around the world, but to see it in my city, the place where I've grown up my entire life, and to be able to cover it is truly a dream come true. And for the team to go at this point in spring session play, they're 4-0. They played very well, backed off by the excellent goalkeeping of a Calgary kid in Marco Carducci. It has been a lot of fun, and kudos to all of the hard work that's gone into this league, because I think the both of us know how long people have been discussing this, but to actually see it is just phenomenal.
No, it's great. And, you know, up here in Edmonton, Jeff Paulus made a great point saying how a Canadian league builds rivalries better, because he always felt that people couldn't really get behind FC Edmonton playing teams from Jacksonville and Minneapolis and Puerto Rico. Now this week, you really have the ability to have a rivalry between, like, Edmonton and Calgary. You have the battle between the teams in Ontario. You really have the rivalry of homegrown teams as opposed to playing a random team in the U.S. now.
Absolutely, and I think this past weekend's game for the El Clasico, to have an Alberta derby is huge, and you have a player like Nick Ledgerwood, who spent a number of years in Edmonton, and now he's playing for Calgary, and it's very cool, and I know that's not the most sexy word to use is cool, but it's just neat to be able to see this product, and it is a good product. I didn't know what the soccer would be like. Maybe it was just going to be long ball and super chippy. And yeah, it's chippy, but there's finesse, there's pace. The goalkeeping, I think, across the league has been fantastic. It's been a lot of fun to watch. And I like that there hasn't really been anything in terms of a nil-nil draw. There's been a lot of scoring.
Yeah.
There's been scoring on set pieces and on open play. So it's just been everything. And a lot of wild weather. A lot of wild weather here in California. Southern Alberta is the hotbed for craziness in terms of, you know, the first game we had snow. And then we had a little bit of sunshine. And then pouring rain this past Saturday. So it's been a lot of fun, and I'm sure it's only going to get better as the season progresses.
No, of course. Now you're seeing now the CPL teams are now going to be in the Canadian Championship. How big is that now to see them have a shot at being on CONCACAF tournament? Not just have the MLS teams involved, because you might have one day a Calgary FC or FC Edmonton or Pacific FC make the Club World Cup one day. That'll be a feat in itself. It may be a few years away though, but that'd be cool to see them in a Club World Cup one day.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking with somebody about that at work who doesn't know too much about the way soccer works in terms of these cup tournaments. And I was trying to explain it. And basically, I mean, if you look at the schedule here for Cavalry, they can essentially, I mean, if they win out versus Pacific coming up here, then they would face the team from Hamilton. And if they win that leg, they would play, if I'm not mistaken, they would play the Whitecaps. So to think about that, like, okay, we could maybe be facing an MLS team. So like you said, it's a neat way to see the progression of this league. Like, how cool, like you said, would it be if the CPL team in that CONCACAF tournament? Very cool.
No, it really would be. And now, and I've heard also too, there'll be expansion next year. I know Alex Bunbury is trying to get teams in Montreal and Quebec City. How big would it be to see this league grow to having 12, 14, or 16 teams one day, where you have teams really from coast to coast in every province that really has a big soccer presence?
Yeah, I think Saskatchewan is clamoring for it as well. I know they had a successful couple of weekends ago there where some of the Foothills, I believe the entire Foothills team here from Calgary, went over to Regina and they had a few thousand people on hand. They also have a women's team there in the United Women's Soccer League playing out of Regina. So I think Saskatchewan would love to have a team. And like you said, Quebec, I mean, other than Saskatchewan, that's really essentially the only other province missing if we're not including the territory. So You've got a league that goes from coast to coast and representation from every part of Canada, and the true essence of what this team, or what this league rather, is trying to provide is play time and a platform for Canadian-born players.
No, of course. And you know, this is a league where people in the soccer world, there's always been a big debate in North American soccer, how should we have promotion and relegation? Do you think that the CPL can survive having a promotion and relegation? Because I know MLS has said they're never going to do it, but do you think this league could survive having that? I think it'd be fun, but I think you need the infrastructure to really be there all levels to have promotion involved in this league, first off.
Yeah, I think maybe down the road when it establishes itself a little bit more. But right now, I think the nice thing is we are seeing parity. We aren't seeing super lopsided wins so far to start things.
No.
So I think things are good right now. If maybe down the road, like you said, when there is expansion of maybe two or three more teams, that might be something to consider. But I think as things stand right now, I think they're looking okay with just the standard way that they're setting everything up for the league.
No, exactly. There's no need to rush. I know we mentioned the Canadian talent here. It's been great to see this league putting caps on international players, making sure the Canadian kids at all levels get a chance to play, because this is a Canadian league. We have to make sure that our own players have a place to play and can play meaningful minutes as well in this league.
Well, and that's exactly it. And it's been an issue for both the men and the women for many, many years, is the fact that, yeah, you can be a member of a team. Let's say you're on some fourth or fifth division team in Europe, but really, what are you gaining by being there if you're not playing any minutes? That's not good for anyone. That's not good for your professional career. It's not good for any sort of national team aspirations. So the fact that these players not only have a professional league, but it's at home and get to play in front of your family and friends night in and night out. And I mentioned Marco Carducci before, and I think people forget he's only in his early 20s. He's probably one of the goalkeepers of the future for Canada. Tommy Logan Jr. told me flat out on the weekend that he's one of the best goalkeepers in Canada right now, and he's not wrong. He's a fabulous shot stopper, excuse me. So, I mean, he has an opportunity to play at home, play meaningful minutes, and from here, this can platform him to potentially playing, let's say, Division One somewhere in Europe. So I think it's just such a wonderful platform and a great way for a lot of these players to start their professional careers.
Yeah, it truly is. And Sandra, my last question for you. Now, it appears Calgary, they're running away with the first half, they're running away with the summer season. So who do you think they'll face in the title game? You didn't know it was in the title game, because you know that'll be a whole new season in the fall. Personally, I want to be Edmonton personally, but who do you think we'll face in the title game this fall, Sandra?
I think Alberta is where it's at. the duo, and I'm not just saying that because I know you're from Edmonton and not from Calgary.
Yes.
But just from what I've seen from the first few weeks, I think Alberta is, and that's, I know having players healthy right now is a bit of an issue for Edmonton. I think this has been such a hectic stretch that players are getting a little bit more injured than expected. But once you get through that little break there in June and players are able to just regroup and reestablish themselves a little bit, I think just the talent is here in Alberta, and I mean that as no bias to anywhere else in the country. I just think next to the Calgary team, I think FC Edmonton will probably be there. And how cool would that be to have Calgary and Edmonton duking it out there for the inaugural CPL championship? I think that would be pretty cool.
No, I would love that. I would love that. Sandra, thank you for doing the podcast. We've got to get some time, and I will make sure to come to Calgary. I will be in Calgary sometime this year for a game. I got to come down for a game this year.
Okay, I'm counting on it.
Awesome. Thanks, Sandra.